Hello, fantasy baseball fans. I'm Paul Williamson. This is Fantasy MLB Today Sports Ethos presentation. Thank y'all so much for joining me. I got my coffee in me. I had some McDonald's breakfast. We got there before 10 a.m., so it was soft and delicious. You know, you get to McDonald's after 10 a.m., and you got a 50-50 shot of it being not very good at all. You know, they let that shit ride out and sell you the leftovers toward the end. You know, that's how they roll. You got to get there before 10 a.m. to get the good McDonald's breakfast. And so now I got my coffee in me, but that did not stop me from showing my age literally just about 10 minutes ago. I was just talking to my wife about all the different platforms we're on, and I'm like, yeah, we're on Apple, iTunes, Spotify, and something called Audible. And I swear to you, I've never even heard of Audible. So if you're listening to me on Audible, thank you. I don't mean to be old, but I kind of am. I mean, I'm only 36, not super old, but I guess I'm not super in tune to all the new apps and gadgets and things and places and all the different words the kids are saying these days. You know, I'm, you know, no cap, I'm older than most. So, you know, period. So, you know, if I'm going to try and sound a little younger, I might try to make it sound a little more natural. So maybe I should just stay away from those words and those phrases because I probably don't use them correctly anyways. Alrighty, y'all. I got a busy day today. I got this podcast today, and then later tonight, me and Anthony are going to be recording our joint podcast, the first joint podcast of Fantasy MLB Today for the season, so I'm very excited about that. We're going to be giving you three redraft players that we think are going to be better for the second half, players that you should probably target in a buy-low situation. And then also, we are going to give you three prospects who are not in the top 100 who we think will be cracking the top 100. Now, I will give you a quick little caveat on my prospects list, guys. I am venturing into Dynasty for really the first time. I mean, I've always kind of kept up with it. You know, I've kept my eye on prospects, kept my eye on minor league players, but I never really got into the nitty gritty of it. I never really did a massive deep dive into it. So this will be my first venture into the world of Dynasty and prospects and finding out which prospects I think will crack the top 100. It's going to be a brand new process for me. So you know what? I'm probably going to sound like a moron and Anthony's probably going to school me a little bit. But hey, that's fine. That's what I need. I need to learn. I'm going to learn right along with y'all guys. So I will do my first. And then also, we have our All-Star articles coming out. I sent over to Anthony my prospects All-Star list. So you're going to be able to get a quick little crack at those names that I have. You go check that out this week on sportsethos.com. Follow us on Twitter at ethosfantasybb, where you get all the updated content that we are going to be producing for you over the All-Star break. So we have the All-Duds team. I'm going to be putting that together today, and then the All-Star team for the All-Star game tomorrow, because we're clever like that. And then you got the prospects coming at you on Wednesday, and then our staff predictions are coming out on Thursday. So be on the lookout for that. We also still are producing our pickup articles. Anthony had his today. He had his risers and fallers article come out today. So go check that out at Ethos Fantasy BB. Make sure checking out other Sports Ethos content at the NFL division for the draft guide at Ethos Fantasy NFL to help you win your fantasy football leagues. Making sense of all the NBA madness. Check out Ethos Fantasy NBA, the NBA draft. Mark Camaro and his dynasty stuff. He just did a podcast with legendary Aaron Brewski and Dr. A. So go check out that podcast to get updated dynasty information, get all the goodies, and also DFS, guys. If you want to start getting to the DFS world and need to know what kind of plays you want to go with, go check out the DFS side of sportsethos.com. We got great minds helping you win some money over there, so make sure that you get in on the action, guys. All you Fantasy Pass subscribers are definitely going to get your money's worth. All right, so before I get into my podcast for today, let's give a little shout out to Bet Online. Bet Online is your number one source for all your sports betting needs this season, from baseball, golf, soccer, right up to the top fights in the UFC, MMA, and boxing. Every set, every matchup, even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. When the game's over, head on over to our online casino to get on a game of blackjack or poker, or unwind with one of our 150 slot games. Head to the website today to get on the action. Use the promo code BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V, B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% first bet credit on your first deposit up to $250. Bet Online, game starts here. Alrighty, y'all. So my podcast today, if you listened to it yesterday, you kind of have a general idea of what I'm going to do. I'm going to start off by continuing to list off some of the, I'm on the sell high portion of my list, I believe, where I recap some of my calls from earlier this season, where I, you know, I in the two podcasts earlier this year, about a month ago, I did There's Morale to the Story and The Art of Ward. Go back and listen to those podcasts if you'd like it. They came out in early June. And I kind of gave y'all some buy low, sell highs, and I've been recapping those names, and I've been telling you if I was right or wrong. If you listen, then you know I was pretty right, spot on about some of them, not so much on the others, i.e. like Anthony Santander. That motherfucker just proved me wrong all up and down the place. So you know what? I was wrong on that one, but Ezequiel Tovar, my goodness, Jose Ramirez even, I was right about. There's another big one I was right about. My goodness, I cannot talk. I cannot remember what the other names were. But anyways, I was pretty dead on about some of them, a little off on other ones, you know, and then some of them are still kind of out to out for discussion. So go check out that podcast yesterday. And then today I'm going to go over, I ended with Brandon Nimmo yesterday. I ended with Pablo Lopez, and then I'm going to start with Brandon Nimmo today. Then we'll have Mackenzie Gore, Ronel Blanco, Dalton Varsho, and Carlos Rodon. I'll be recapping, and then I'm going to give you a few sell high names at the end of the podcast. Some new names that to the podcast that I think are sell highs, and then listen to the podcast tomorrow between me and Anthony, where we will be discussing three names that we think are going to improve for next season. Okay, start with Brandon Nimmo, kind of recapping this was a buy low for me. And in the 58 games, it hit it up to that podcast on June, I believe this is Brandon Nimmo. I did Brandon Nimmo on June 10th. in those 58 games, he had 7 homers, 31 RBIs, 5 steals. He batted .222 with an on-base percentage .350 and a slug of .387. Was not very pretty for Nimmo to begin the year, but you know what, y'all? Since then, since that podcast, he has hit 9 homers, so he hit more homers in 31 games than he did in the first 58. He also had the same number of RBI at 31. He's had 3 steals, and he slashed .301, .386, and .585. This brings his year-to-date total slash line at .251, .363, and .460, with 16 homers and 62 RBI. And guys, this is going to keep going. He's going to be one of the better outfield names, one of the better outfield assets for the rest of the year. All of his expected numbers are elite. His quality contact numbers are elite. His chase and whiff rates are chase and walk rates are elite, and he has an average whiff rate. So the guy just has all kinds of excellent numbers under the hood that has to make managers feel comfortable in the idea that he is going to be an elite asset for the rest of the year. I want to give myself a little pat on the back. I got out of underneath the corner. Corbin Carroll right around this time and traded him for Brandon Nimmo, and boy oh boy am I glad I did. It was probably the best trade I made all season, and I flipped my first round pick for a guy who was drafted way later and is providing very close to top round or early round value, if not at early round value. I need to go take a look at what his ranking is, but if it's not there, it's pretty damn close. Brandon Nimmo is going to be an elite dude this year. All right, let's talk about Mackenzie Gore. And he was on the June 4th podcast, and I believe that was There's Morale to the Story. And in the first 63 innings, leading up to the podcast, he was a .357 ERA, 65 hits allowed, 21 walks. And I called him a buy low at the time, and I was kind of wrong about it, but I still am a massive believer. So in the 35 and two-thirds innings since the podcast, his ERA has gone up to .473. And he has allowed 39 hits and 16 walks, and those are way too high. And his WHIP is a little bit worse in this time than it was at that is 154 is his WHIP in these 35 innings here. However, for the season, he has a .362 BABIP to go with a .307 FIP. So his FIP is almost a full run below his real ERA, and the BABIP is extremely high. That tells me I think Mackenzie Gore has been getting pretty unlucky. Now here's something that's very interesting. His real ERA went from .357 the first part, and then the 35 innings since the podcast, his ERA is .473. But the FIP and before the podcast time was 307, or that's his real FIP right now. His FIP in this terrible stretch here is actually below three at 277. So I firmly believe that Mackenzie Gore has been getting wildly unlucky. He has an even higher BABIP in his most recent outings at 376. He also has a pretty low left on base rate at 63.6%. That's not super low, but it's low enough for me to say that, you know what, he's probably going to see some positive regression coming. You also see on the year he has remember, expected slugging is a very important stat when determining homers, and he has a expected slugging below 400 at 376 with a very good barrel rate against him. Now, this barrel rate is within this last little stretch of games. He has a 5.8% barrel rate. He is not getting barreled, which is translated to a very low home run to fly ball ratio, 2.4%, which might be seen as slightly lucky as opposed to unlucky. But look, when you have an expected slugging as low as what he has, a barrel rate as low as what he has, you have to think that he's still not going to allow very many homers for the rest of the year. Then we go take a look at the WOBA. The WOBA is a little bit above league average. It's slightly concerning at 325, but the league average is only 316. So it's not like he's way above league average, and he's well below league average in barrel and in the expected slugging, which means I think overall Mackenzie Gore is going to be fine this year. I do not think that there is a major glaring number here that says, yeah, it's all about to just fall apart for him. I don't think those numbers exist. If anything, the peripherals seem to generally like him more than what his surface stats are showing. And his arsenal is fantastic. I just love his pitch mix. I think that Mackenzie Gore is going to be a very good pitcher for the rest of the year. I think that you can go and find a manager that might be panicking a bit on Mackenzie Gore, and you can probably trade him or trade for him and not give up too much right now. So go out and see what the market's like for Mackenzie Gore, because I think he's going to be a pretty solid pitcher for the rest of the season. Okay, let's talk about Ronel Blanco is next, and I called him a sell high on June 4th, and so far I haven't been very correct on this one, but I still am kind of out on Ronel Blanco. Let's talk about it. In the 10 starts leading up to the podcast, he pitched 59 innings with a 2.44 ERA, with 36 hits allowed, 25 walks allowed, and the BABIP in this time is 201, which is one of the numbers that I pointed to in the podcast, saying, hey, look, his BABIP is 201. That's a very low BABIP. That means he's been getting a lot of those C&I single balls, have not been leaving the infield. No, not a lot of pop-up singles, you know, so there's going to be some regression here, right? Well, that BIP went from 201 to freaking 163 in the last seven starts since the podcast. And in 44 innings pitched, he's got a 266 ERA with that 163 BABIP. His left on base in this time has been 83.8%. So that's a very high left on base rate. And you go and take a look at what the peripherals on the ERA, the ERA estimators, the XFIP in this time was 423. The Sierra is 420. The FIP was 482. So you know what, these are all numbers that are just screaming at us that he's been getting a bit lucky here lately, and I tend to agree. You know, you take a look though at a couple numbers that are working in his favor. He does have a 269 WOBA, but the expected WOBA against him is closer to 300. And then you got the expected slugging of 383. Now look, I do harp on WOBA and expected slugging as two key numbers here. However, that you cannot just, I do always stress this as well, you do want to look at other numbers. So the other key numbers that also can tell you what kind of luck he's been having. And so you go and take a look at the barrel rate is 11%. That's an 11% barrel rate. That's too high for my taste. That just tells me he's been getting barreled a lot, and eventually those barreled balls are going to start to come back to bite him. And so when those barrel balls do come back to bite him, you're going to see that WOBA happen. They expect the slugging to go up some. And then you also got the bat bip luck. You also got the left on base luck. And then you got all the ERA estimators, right? So it's not like, you know, he's got a couple of these other numbers that are good to go with the wOBA and expected slugging. There are other key numbers that you look at, and there are other numbers that are telling you that this is all potentially going to not, he's going to blow up at him. For the year, he has a 421 xFIP, a 425 Sierra, a 442 FIP. On the year, he has an 86.3% left on base rate for the season and a 178 bat bip. Those are some very high left on base, a very low bat bip, combined with the ERA estimators, and then the barrel rate as well. And then you also have a higher fly ball rate and a low ground ball rate. These numbers are not a recipe for success. It's the expected slugging and the wOBA are kind of on an island of their own when it comes to the peripherals for Ronald Blanco that actually look good for him. So at the end of the day, I still believe Ronald Blanco is a sell high. Go and see what you get for him while his numbers look as good as they do. Let's talk Dalton Varsho. And he was a sell high at the time of the podcast, and I actually called him a potential drop more than just a sell high, you know. And at this point, if you still have him on your roster in standard size 12-team leagues, what are you doing? Drop him now, man. If you're in a 12-team league and you still have Varsho on your squad, just cut bait, man. So in the 56 games leading up to the podcast, he had 10 homers, 31 RBI, 5 steals with a bad 212 batting average, but the slugging percentage at the time was 455. So he had been seeing some pretty good success up to this point. And I told you all it was a mirage, and oh boy, was it ever. In the 31 games since the podcast, he only has one homer. He only has 6 RBI. He's batting 174, and the slugging is down to 286. Oh my goodness. If you have held on to him through this whole stretch, are you just not paying attention to him? Do you just like seeing his name on your roster? Do you like saying, oh, Varsho, cool, I like that guy, he, I don't know, bought me a smoothie one day? What are you doing? I mean, in the deeper leagues, I can kind of see it because he does steal bases still, right? He did have 4 steals in these 31 games. He now is up to, what, 9 or 10 on the year. So he's a decent steals asset, but that's about it. And that's just kind of a specialty stream type situation, because you go and look at his under the hood numbers. His XWOBA is in the second percentile. The expected batting average and the expected slugging are both in the first percentile. His average exit velocity is in the fourth percentile. His barrel rate is only 6.0%. The hard hit rate's in the 13th percentile at 31.3%. The launch angle sweet spot is in the 16th percentile at just at 30.3%. I mean, they're just really isn't much here to like about Dalton Varsho. You just go ahead and cut bait. He's a pretty easy drop at this point. And you know, maybe you can stream him from time to time against weaker pitching. But that's about it for my taste when it comes to Varsho. Okay, let's talk Carlos Rodon. And at the time of the podcast, I definitely called him a sell high, and I hope you listened to me, because the wheels have fallen off. And personally for me, at one point I traded Rodon for Mackenzie Gore. Overall, I feel like I've won that trade, even though we talked already a little bit about Mackenzie Gore's recent struggles. But Carlos Rodon's struggles have been way worse. Okay, in the 12 starts before the podcast, leading up to the podcast, he was 7-2 with a 309 ERA, in 67 innings pitched, with a 254 bat bip. And you know what? I told you guys that was a lot of those numbers, especially the ERA and whip, were a mirage, and I was right. In the 7 starts since, he is just 2-5 with a 750 ERA. You do not adjust your listening device. He is a 750 ERA. When you go and take a look at a 5.11 FIP to go with it, he's allowed 44 hits in 36 innings to go with 15 walks. It hasn't been very good for Rodon. To his credit, to be slightly fair to him, the XFIP and the Sierra are both below 4 in this time at 382 and 343. But that's about where it stops for the numbers that look good good for Rodon. Like I said with Ronald Blanco, you can't just look at a couple of numbers and say, oh, okay, it's gonna be fine. You gotta look at the rest of the package. So yes, the XFIP in Sierra might look good, but the FIP is 5.11. That Walba is at 392. The barrel rate is at 12.4%. Then you combine with a high fly ball rate of 45.7%, a low ground ball rate of 37.1%. So those are two numbers again. When you combine those two numbers with a high Walba and barrel rate, those are very key predictors of homers and run production. And then you also go and take a look at the expected slugging on the year is 454. That's a very high expected slugging rate. And then also on the year, he still has a barrel rate in the ninth percentile on the season at 10.5%. So the barrel rate is just not where you want it to be. The WOBA on the year is 339. The X WOBA is right there with it at 331. He has an average exit velocity against him at 90.7. That's in the ninth percentile. So yeah, you can take a look at the XFIP in the Sierra and try and convince yourself that it might be okay for Rodon long term. He's not going to be this bad, but I think that he is going to be this bad for the rest of the year. I mean, like, maybe not like a 750 ERA kind of bad, but whew, I think you might be seeing something close to that 5.11 FIP, somewhere in the mid fours on the ERA for the rest of the year. And that's where he is at now. He's got a 4.60 ERA at the moment, and I think that Rodon is going to stay there. I don't think it's going to get better. You have a high expected slugging, a high WOBA, high barrel rates, a high fly ball rate, low line drive rate, the high FIP, things just do not look all that great for Mr. Rodon. Try to see if you can get someone to say, oh, he's a starting pitcher for the Yankees and he has a lot of wins, and see if you can get them to trade to give you anything of value right now, because it's not going to get any better for Rodon for the rest of the year. All right, I got three new names coming at you on the list for today. We're going to begin with Blake Snell. He is a sell high. And let me tell you why. So he's finally come around his last two starts. Combined, he has 12 innings pitch of scoreless baseball. He's only allowed two hits, three walks, and he struck out 11. So I think at this point, you can try and go to another general manager and say, hey, look, Blake Snell's kind of coming around to that Cy Young form from last year. And you may be like, okay, yeah, you're right. And you're going to sit there smiling, ready to sell, because you go and take a look at his numbers from last year and the numbers this year kind of spell trouble for him. So for the season this year, you're looking at a FIP that's at 378. The XFIP is 398 with the 397 Sierra. So those numbers are way higher than the 225 ERA that he returned last year. Last year's 225 ERA was backed up with an XFIP at 362 with Sierra of 406. All of last year, he had an 86.7 left on base rate. Let me say that again, an 86.7 left on base rate. That number's generally in the 70s. So there's going to be less men left on base, which means more runs scored. He also had a uncomfortably high walk rate of 13.3% last year. So this is a situation in which you got to believe that Blake Snell had a lot of luck last year. You also have to go and take a look at the fact that his WOBA allowed was 266. That's pretty good, right? But the XWOBA is actually closer to league average at 300. The XWOBA on contact against him was actually above league average at 375. So overall, Blake Snell had a high walk rate, a high left on base rate that translated to an XFIB and a Sierra that are well at four or well above four. He's allowing a 8.3% barrel rates in the most recent outings on the year, and that is above league average. You have a FIPS closer to three area, closer to four, and with the ERA estimators at or above four. I just do not like Blake Snell, at least not in a sense that, you know, he's going to return to a Cy Young form. I mean, let me be a little clear here. I don't think Blake Snell is going to be bad, right? I think he's going to be around a top 50 or so starting pitcher, but I think that people see the Cy Young Award, the 2.25 ERA from last year, combined with the 12 innings of scoreless baseball he has right now. So I think you can go out and you can trade him for a top 20, top 30 arm right now, because he's not going to be that this year. He's going to be an okay pitcher. He's going to be solid, but he's not going to be this elite Cy Young Award winning kind of dude. And I think you can go out and get someone closer to that profile right now, because he's not going to have another 2.25 ERA season. Let's talk Ben Lively. And he is currently 8-5 with a 3.58 ERA with a 1.17 whip. It's been pretty good for Ben Lively lately, but there are definitely some things that make me think that these numbers are a bit of a mirage. He has an 83% left on base rate. The xFIP is 4.18. The real FIP is 4.56, and the Sierra is 4.08. So he has 3 ERA estimator numbers that are really high, combined with a high left on base rate. The average exit velocity against him was in the 3rd percentile. The chase rate against him is only 16th percentile. The whiff is only 12th percentile. And then the big thing for me with Ben Lively this year is you've listened to me on this podcast talk about Ben Lively before, and he's been a good streaming option against weaker offenses. And if you go and look at his schedule, 11 of his 16 starts have been against some pretty poor offenses. He has 2 starts against the early season Boston Red Sox. If you remember, the Boston Red Sox came out the gate real cold, and he was a big benefactor of that to begin the year. He's had two starts against the Angels, 2 starts against the White Sox, a start against the Nationals, against the Tigers, against the Rays, against the Marlins. Those are 11 pretty damn good matchups, and it's been out of 16 starts, y'all. So you got to believe that Ben Lively has been the benefactor of a very easy schedule. And I know I've been calling it for a lot of the time on my podcast. Every time I see Ben Lively against a weak offense, I'm like, yeah, go for that. That's a great option. But man, you get him against an offense that's anything close to middle of the pack or better, and he's going to struggle. So I am very much not out on Ben Lively. I still think you can start him against, you know, like I said, the weaker offenses, like the bottom third of the league or so, is where he's a very good option. But outside of that, I do not like Ben Lively. I think that you can potentially trade him for someone in closer to the top 40, top 50 right now, and someone who's going to stay solidly in that range, because they can probably take a look at those surface stats and not realize that he's been getting good numbers against bad offenses. And then you can trade him for an arm that might be a little more solidly a top 40 or so asset, or top 40 or so pitcher for the rest of the year. So he is definitely a sell high at the moment. Let's talk Spencer Steer and Isaac Paredes are the last two names on the list, and I classify them as sell highs. Let's talk Spencer Steer first. He is currently a top 100 asset and is actually the second rated first baseman on Fantrax at the moment. And man, oh man, I do not think that's going to stay. So the reason why he's ranked so high, especially in the first base realm, is because he has 14 steals. And I don't think that number is a mirage. I think the steals are real. The numbers that's a mirage are the home runs and the RBI. So let's talk about that, because that's where his regression is going to come from. If you go and take a look at what he's done there, he is tied for 6th in homers and RBI amongst all first basemen. And when it comes to first baseman, that's where you really want to make sure you're getting solid power and run production out of it, generally speaking. And that's where he's going to struggle, because he has just average quality of contact numbers. I mean, they're not bad, but they're just average. And he's been a well above average home run hitter for the season. So he's had a 15 homers and 60 RBI, but his quality of contact, the expected numbers all tell us that it probably should have been closer to 8 or 9. And then you go and take a look at his home runs versus expected homers. He has 15 homers. The expected homers are just 12, and he had 9 homers that are classified as doubters on the list. When you compare it to someone like Pete Alonso, who has 4 doubters, and only 4 doubters for someone like Josh Naylor. I think that he's had a few few homers that probably shouldn't have been homers. And then I think that you have very average quality contact numbers. I do think that Spencer Steer is going to kind of regress on the home run front. You know, he might be, you know, he's going to be a better power asset, of course, whenever he plays at home in Cincinnati. But just overall, though, the quality contact numbers do not tell me he's an elite power asset. I do not think he's going to get another 15 homers this year. I think rest of season, you're going to probably see, I mean, it's not bad, right? It's not like he's a terrible power asset, but I don't think he's going to hit another 15. I think you're looking at another 8 to 9 homers for him on the rest of the year, which, like I said, isn't terrible, but you can go out and trade him for someone for a bit of better of a power asset, someone that's going to be able to be a little more consistent in that department, especially if that's a category that you're kind of keeping an eye on that you might be slightly worried about, and you think that you need to make sure you maintain power production, that Spencer Steer is not someone you want on the roster if you need someone to maintain the pace that he's been showing, because he's not that. Next, Isaac Paredes. And man, I think he is a much bigger mirage than Spencer Steer is. Isaac Paredes is batting .261 with a .364 on base and a .459 slugging. He has 15 homers just like Steer and 50 RBIs, and oh my goodness, the numbers just do not back this up at all whatsoever. The expecting batting average of .220 is what backs up the .261 average. The .451 slugging is backed up with an expected slugging of just .360. So there is just absolutely no way he's going to maintain that batting average or the slugging percentage, especially when you go and take a look at the average exit velocity of only 85.2%. That's in the 5th percentile. The barrel rate is only 6%. That's in the 30th percentile. The hard hit rate at 26.8%. That's just the 6th percentile. The one quality of contact number that works in his favor, and it is an important one, is that the launch angle sweet spot is 36.2%, and that's in the 69th percentile. And I think that is going to be good for him to hit another handful of homers, right? Think about one of my previous podcasts where I talked about someone like Luis Arias, where you might have terrible quality contact numbers and the average exit velocities and hard hit rates and barrel rates, but if they got a really good launch angle sweet spot, they're going to at least have some homers. But it ain't freaking 15 homers. I didn't say Luis Arias is going to hit 30 homers on the year, which is kind of the pace Paredes is going on right now. So that doesn't mean he's going to hit that many homers. I think Isaac Paredes might be good for another 6 to 7 homers. He's going to have very similar homer potential to someone like Luis Arias, who also has terrible numbers all up and down the board, except for the launch angle sweet spot when it comes to quality contact. Now, of course, Arias is a much better batting average asset. There's no way Arias's batting average is going to drop, but I do think Isaac Paredes' average is going to drop because he does not have the expected batting average to back it up. He does not have the expected slugging percentage to back up his run production. I think it's all going to fall apart for Isaac Paredes. Go ahead and trade him now. Get what you can for him while his surface stats look good. Okay, y'all. That does it for me. Thank y'all so much for joining me. Make sure you be on the lookout for me and Anthony's podcast coming out tomorrow. Be on the lookout for the All Duds team coming out later today. The All-Star team coming out tomorrow. Prospects on Wednesday. Team staff predictions on Thursday. I am very excited about the content that we're going to be producing for you over the All-Star break. So go straight to check us out at Ethos Fantasy BB. That's at Ethos Fantasy BB. This episode is brought to you by Bet Online. Thank you all so much for joining me. You have a good day.